Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. What a remarkable thing it is to see the sun shine, listen to the birds sing, and the birds are a little confused with this weather because some have migrated already. Did you know that? We're seeing the bluebirds turn up, and we're seeing evidence of some other little tiny birds coming by, and usually they don't come by until another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Anyway, that's what's happening on the outside. On the inside, how are you? How are things going for you? What sort of upheavals have come your way since we last talked? What happened this week for you that was glorious and beautiful and a blessing? What happened in your life this same week that was a bit destructive and a little bit annoying and a little bit confusing? Ah, well, I've got hope for you, and I've got a blessing to share, and I'm using the word blessing with the interpretation from the Greek, spiritually prosperous. And this is what I'm seeking to bring to you, a spiritual prosperity that will give you a new lease on life, another attitude where you can reach upward and onward with Jesus, and that you can trust him just a little more than you were a few hours ago, a few days ago, maybe just minutes ago. We're going to look again at these beautiful verses in Matthew, recorded for us again in Luke, of how to pray, how to get down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus said, "When ye pray, pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus gave us a great big thing to think about here. He said, I want you to be in the position where you recognize that the name of God is hallowed. That is, it is holy. We should be very, very careful how we use the name of God. And in whatever circumstance you find yourself in, refrain from the expression, "Oh God." I know it's popular, and I know the majority of people use such an expression. But do be careful, because when we take the name of the Lord our God in vain, we do ourselves a disservice. We break the commandments of God, which tell us, "Thou shalt not." And when God says, "Thou shalt not," he doesn't say maybe, perhaps, eventually. He says, "Thou shalt not." Now, when I link this lovely prayer or this pattern for prayer, I come to a place in the 10th verse of Matthew 6, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." If you have your Bible, flick the pages over to the 26th chapter, and you find that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus came with them, the disciples, verse 36 of chapter 26 of Matthew. Jesus came with them, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Understand what Jesus is saying. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? keep watching and praying that ye may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh, oh, is weak. He went away a second time and he prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them again and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Now, he was speaking Swahili as far as they were concerned. They did not understand what had gone on. Jesus using the principle of prayer, the principle that he placed in front of the disciples, Thy will be done. Nevertheless, no matter what takes place, Thy will be done on earth. Now in heaven, Jesus has complete authority. So he is saying, Will you please give that authority its freedom now? Not my will, but your will be done. It's easy to say these things, but when you're called upon, placed in front of the Lord, you find yourself with a situation where you have to say, Thy will, not mine, be done. It may be that you're at the deathbed of a dear one, and you may be saying, Well, I know I should pray for this dear one, but he or she has suffered sufficiently, surely. Thy will, I hand him or her over to you, Lord. Take hold of this person, take hold of them, and your will be done. Refresh their spirit, refresh their heart, refresh their mind, refresh their body, and bring them back, please, because I love this person. Or take this person, dearly beloved by me, but more dearly beloved by you, into your presence now. Thy will be done. To acquiesce to somebody else's will is not easy. Sometimes it's done through belligerence. But God uses circumstances to draw us closer to each other and closer to Him. And when we lay our dear ones in front of Him, Thy will, not my will, be done, we are saying, in effect, whatever takes place, whatever happens now, is fine with me because this is in the hand of the living God. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll look after this person, watch over this person. Nevertheless, Thy will. Now, we see some of the humanity of Jesus bleeding through his divine nature, and we see him in such a situation that he is saying something very massive. He has eaten the Passover with the disciples, and as he put his hand into the sop, it's called in the old version, into the bowl of maybe some soup, as the soup was sucked up by the bread, as he was putting that to his mouth, he said to his disciples, The person that is going to betray me sits with me here at this table. I don't know about you, but I have never tried to betray my Lord Jesus. And it's important that we do not betray him, either in the conversation we have or the actions that we get involved in. We must never betray Jesus. We must hold Jesus as altogether lovely, as the fairest of 10,000, the bright, the morning star. We must see Jesus as Jesus is, the Son of the living God, ever living in heaven at this very moment to make intercession for us. We must look at Jesus as the holy, holy, holy God. We must look at Jesus as the one who loves us beyond anyone else. We have to come to a place where we place our lives in the hands of Jesus. If you've done that, you are a saint. You have been awarded that piece of ribbon or whatever it is that makes you a saint. You've been called a saint, and you are called that saint for the rest of your eternity. Our lives are spread out into eternity. This life terminates in the death of this body, but our soul and our spirit go on into eternity, so that Jesus says we have everlasting life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. That is, never. We really mean these words, by the way. This is not a political never. This is never. I've noticed in the news lately that some of the agreements that we've had with different countries in the world are there to be broken, because though we said we would always stand with them, standing with them is too politically unpleasant these days, and we're not going to do it, period. We're not talking of that sort of commitment. I'm talking of the commitment where we can commit ourselves to Jesus, and Jesus will never leave us. Jesus will never forsake us. Jesus will always be with us, no matter what our condition, no matter what is going on. He is altogether lovely. We have here in this piece of scripture of Matthew 26 a beautiful situation where he says to his disciples, we've sat together, and the one that's going to betray me was sitting there right with you and I. And it's a dreadful thing, but he's going to do it. He's going to betray me. And he's going to do it in a massive way. He's going to say, I will betray the Son of Man with an affectionate expression, with a kiss. It's important to understand that these men didn't. They just didn't understand Jesus. Just a little bit further away, Jesus had said to these same men, with man, what God is going to do is impossible, but what you must understand, God will do the impossible with the man. In other words, it may be to you impossible, and you cannot see beyond the cul-de-sac of your thinking. But, said Jesus, what's impossible with man is possible with God. So we have a God that deals with the impossible. We have a God that deals with things that we cannot understand. We have a God that never leaves us, never. He is omnipresent. So we come to these words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he called the disciples to him and said, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, here's a very difficult thing. It isn't always easy to pray. I have a real thing about people in the congregation listening to prayers that are unprepared. For instance, you may be in a meeting, and the person in charge of the meeting, it could be the pastor or someone who is emceeing, that person will say, Brother so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer? Well, Brother so-and-so isn't known intimately by this man that is asking him to pray. And that very morning, before they got into the car and had a very cold drive to the church and got out in a fume, he'd had a furious argument with his wife. Now, tell me, is his spirit ready to say to the congregation, congregation, join me in this prayer? Does he stand up and say, Lord, forgive me for my lack of understanding my wife who is dear and near. What does he do with that? How does he do that? Whereas the pastor has spent all week in prayer, and the pastor has been upon his knees seeking what to say. And I believe that public prayer is far more important than we recognize. And I think God must be fed up with our prattling and talking of insignificant nonsense. We criticize those who use the prayer book. We get ourselves in a knot over the repetition. Well, don't we repeat and repeat and repeat? Don't we use the similar expressions? Don't we have the same meaningless expressions in our prayers? And don't we sometimes think that in our public praying, we're heard for our much speaking? So Jesus said to these fellows, go over there and let me go just a little way from you. In one version it says, a stone's throw away. Jesus fell upon his knees and he said, Lord, I've got something to talk to you about. The humanity that I took on in Bethlehem of Judea when I was born, when the angels trumpeted and said all the wonderful things that they said. And when the heavens opened and the singing was great and you pronounced the blessing of the birth of your son, why, please, now I'm wrestling with that humanity. Jesus was very man and very God. And we have to understand, even though we don't or can't, we have to understand, I believe, that Jesus was very man. And he had manly thinking. He was always wrestling to get beyond that humanity that was born into him. It's an important thing, I believe, to understand that Jesus was wanting someone to bear some of the burden with him. But here in Gethsemane, there was no one. Why, the people that were closest to him were sound asleep. They couldn't keep awake. And Jesus comes to them and he says, what's wrong with you fellows? I know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that. But why can't you stay awake and pray with me? And I say this in the most generous way I can. I believe there's more sleepy prayers pronounced in our churches than there are awake prayers. I believe that we enter into temptation because we do not pray. Even though we sound as if we're praying with lots of words and noises, yet we do not pray. Praying is getting into the mind of God. Praying is knowing the word of God and the will of God for you. Then within that will and within that word, you open up your heart and God fills it. Jesus was looking for such a thing. And these fellows kept falling asleep. Why is there nothing going on in your church? You're not awake when you're praying. You've got other things to think about. You've got other things that you would rather be doing. You're not praying. Oh, but I do. I do say this and I do say that. Yes, dear friend, you may be very, very sincere. But the devils understand what's going on, and they are so sincere they clear out of the way because they know what the wrath of God is upon pretense. They are the pretenders, and they are the imps of hell, and they are at the dictate of this awful dictator called Satan. You must understand that James records for us these precious words, and I've counted them as most precious over the years, but he says, why, the devil knows these things and trembles. And we have the effrontery not to even care. These fellas didn't care. They wanted to, but they didn't. Well, then you come to this place where Jesus goes back a second time and he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Thy will be done, Read that prayer again, the Lord's Prayer, and understand what Jesus is saying here. Not my will, but thy will be done. He is remembering what he taught his disciples. They should have remembered what he had taught, but like us, they did not remember what they were taught, and they forgot his teaching. He said, when you pray, pray, thy will be done. But we don't do that, nor did they in their day. Until the resurrection, they were just absolutely smothered with humanity. Well, we come where Jesus prays this same prayer again. Because the disciples were sleeping, so you men, said Jesus, could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus went again the second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, unless I drink it, it's okay. Your will be done. He knew he had to drink this cup, and he knew he had to suffer these awful things. He knew that the suffering of his soul was going to bring a satisfaction to God, and God would see mankind through the suffering of the soul of Jesus. And so he knew that he'd got to suffer. And yet he asked, Lord, is there another way we can do this? Knowing full well that he made the plan. Knowing full well that he placed the plan in front of himself and in front of mankind. And the plan was now being played out. And he was the most important part of the plan of salvation. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus earned our redemption. In my place condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood, says the hymn writer. And Jesus has never changed. So can you say thy will be done? It's not easy, is it? Not easy at all. It's a terrible thing. I heard a story years back where this lady had this little child, and she was an ugly lady. She wasn't a beautiful woman at all. But she had married a blind man, and the child that they had was born blind. And the child only knew her beauty by putting his fingers around her face and feeling her nose, eyes and lips, and so on. He knew his mother, and she was beautiful to him. One day some Christians were sitting around in the church, and they said, well, that ugly old lady, think that she has that blind boy. The boy stood up eventually, and he said, I've listened to your conversation. To me, she is the most beautiful woman in all the world. I see her through my hands. You see, we see things in different ways by different means. You and I need to take the time to do as the Lord Jesus would have us to do. Jesus said, as I've got authority, complete authority in heaven, now let me have complete authority on this earth. Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now here is something stunning for us to think about. And I would ask you to start thinking about Easter. Easter is coming very quickly. We'll have had spring break, and we have abandoned the Lord Jesus and his word, and we've all had a great time in spring break. Well, now, apply your heart to the word of God and see what triggered spring break. Spring break is an effrontery to God, because he gave us Easter that we might remember Jesus. Oh, you say, Easter is a pagan holiday. Yes, I am aware of that, but God has used it over the millennials so that we would grow in grace and the knowledge of him and understand his only begotten Son. Well, there's some things to think about. Gethsemane in the Lord's Prayer. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we ask that you will quiet our hearts to the place where we may apply our hearts to your precious word and your word to the rest of our lives. Fill our lives with the joy of your salvation, not the emotion of the mind and the heart, but the joy of your salvation established, firmly planted in heaven. Be with us now and bless everyone that hears these precious words. Make them spiritually prosperous, Lord, and cause the prosperity of the spirituality to be so enormous that we rejoice in you always, and again we rejoice. So bless us now, please. Keep us in your peace and cause our hearts to leap with joy for Jesus' sake. Amen.